How are you all going? Great. Did someone say great? Ah, Greg. Great is good. No, great is great. Love that. I'm Pastor Nami. For those who don't know me, welcome to all our VIPs, all our visitors. We love meeting new people, so please hang around after the service so we can get to know you. Thank you for the giving. Father, we just thank you for everything that's been given this morning. We just pray for wisdom, Lord, in terms of how we use it. I thank you, Father, for having such a generous church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we've come to the time of year where we talk about our story, our future. And so we're diving into this two-part series of our story, our future, and our theme is City of Refuge, as it's already been mentioned. And in case you're not familiar with our story, our future, it's essentially our building fund, investment into our building fund, but it's more than that. You know, I think someone mentioned was Rebecca talking about big, that we're doing something bigger than ourselves. So there's a greater vision, even when we're thinking about building fund. It's something, it's more than just that. It's something bigger. We make a faith promise. And next week, we're going to get the opportunity to actually give. We've got the cards here. I'll talk about that towards the end. But giving into our story, our future, connects us to the story of this church and what the future looks like. But more importantly, it connects us to what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing through the church. So today I'm sharing about City of Refuge, and I'm going to quickly focus on three things. Number one, being set apart. Number two, a place of encounter. And lastly, an update on our secondary giving, specifically the work of World Vision. So we're sharing from Numbers 35, verse 6 to 15. It says, six of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelites possess are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many, but few from one that has few. Then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. These six towns you give will be your cities of refuge. There is that phrase again. Give three on this side of the Jordan and three in Canaan as cities of refuge. These six towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites and for foreigners residing among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there. Here we see there were clearly identified and accessible places to which those who were in danger could flee and find protection. What's significant about this is that these cities belong to the Levites. The Levites were those group of the tribe of Israel who were set apart to serve God and teach his word. And so as we speak about the church being a city of refuge, we're looking at it from this angle, that it was set apart. Set apart. The church is set apart. This year, our story of future invites us to consider how our church buildings support a similar spiritual mission. This is our story, our future, building a visible, welcoming, and enduring church where people can run to Jesus and find hope. we hear from the word that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We see in Matthew 11:28, Jesus declaring that his people are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's on Matthew 5:14-16. So our visibility as a church matters. Our buildings are not just structures. They're not merely structures. They're places of worship, as we've been doing. They're places of discipleship, places of prayer, places where healing can take place, places where the gospel is proclaimed. They help make the hope of Christ visible and accessible to those who are searching for refuge. People are not always necessarily looking for refuge in the physical sense, but people are often looking for refuge in ways that we cannot see. So the church is called to be a visible and accessible place where the broken, the burdened, and the spiritually desperate can encounter Jesus. The Lord Jesus, who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We know that people can encounter Jesus anywhere. If you listen to the testimony of, you know, different people, all of us in this room have had a different encounter with the Lord Jesus, not necessarily in a church building. So we're not saying that being in a church building is the only way that you're going to encounter the Lord Jesus. But the church is a place of encounter. There are many places that we can gather. In your home, at sporting activities, at concert halls. There are many things that we all, even in the church, engage in where we can gather. But a church is where we come together for the common purpose of praising God, the common purpose of setting our eyes or fixing our eyes on Jesus. Our buildings offer opportunity to encounter the Lord with a community of people with similar beliefs. That word community matters. You may go to different gatherings, different buildings, but there is a sense of community that comes in the church that is unique to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's unique. We get to worship, we get to connect with others. We get to learn from others. And we're not just focusing on the building, because that would be an error to say that we're focusing just on the building. It's not just about the institution. But we recognize that this is a place of transformation. Ultimately, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is our true and eternal refuge. In Hebrews 6:18, we hear that through him, we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. As a church, we are called to point people toward that hope. You know, it's easy sometimes to say, you know what, I'm just going to do church by myself at home. And there's different reasons why sometimes people have to do that. But we cannot neglect that there is something unique about being able to gather with other believers physically. Because there's something that you bring with your presence. Sometimes I think we underestimate the power of our presence. We underestimate that we were made in the image of God, but we were also made uniquely. No two fingerprints are the same. So you are unique, and therefore you bring a unique presence. Regardless of even the negative things that people may have told you about yourself, there's something about your presence. There's something about your voice. And when you are not there, that presence is missed and that voice is missed. So never underestimate the power of what you bring. I don't think we can ever say that enough. You know, it's been really challenging for me this year with my youngest, just really struggling with some things emotionally. Coming back to from school and saying, I don't like my hair, I don't like my body, I don't like different things about herself. And she's 7 years old. And when you ask why, she then tells you, oh, so-and-so said this about me, and so-and-so said this about me. And I know that many of us have had those experiences in one way or another, where we have been told things about us that completely move away from the image that or what God created you to be. And when we start hearing those voices from such a young age, by the time we are an adult and we are in church and we are told that you are a presence, you are a miracle, it just goes through one ear and out the other. Because what's sitting there is what's been said to you when you were very young. And only through revelation does that shift. So, we want to talk now, just conscious of our time, about our secondary giving. Through our secondary giving initiative, we contribute to maintaining our church building and reducing our mortgage. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week, and take you through, you know, what's been done so far, what's been spent, and how much we owe and all of that stuff. So we'll talk about that next week. But now we just want to talk about World Vision, which is really exciting stuff. So some key achievements before we watch the video of World Vision towards the sponsorship that we've done is that children, families, and communities, the sponsorship and partnerships of, I can say proudly, Ruach Kirk, that's the community we're sponsoring. They're experiencing improvement in learning, better health and nutrition, and stronger family livelihood. Okay, so we've got the pictures there. We'll put the video at the end. So those are some of the kids that have been sponsored through our church. So it's just really wonderful. Can we please put up the slide for Chenda, if we've got that? So I don't know if you can see her, but in that next page, that young girl, Chenda, she's 11 years old, and she shared, some of the information was sent was that she shared how World Vision has supported their church, and the biggest change is that she's been able to be part of a reading camp that was formed because of your support. And now the church has become a special and welcoming place because they get all these storybooks and they get to learn with other children. They're saying that every Sunday before worship, they spend about 2 hours at the reading camp with their friends. So she reports that she has become more confident reading with her friends. And when I was reading that, I was like, sometimes we underestimate or we don't even think about the other things, the other benefits of the things that we do. We often think, oh, we're sponsoring and they'll get better education, better nutrition. But that word confident really struck me because I was like, you just don't know where a confident young girl will go. It's incredible the things that will happen when a young girl is confident. So that is just some of the impact of the work that you are doing. And then I'll quickly move on to the next story of Sereni. Sereni is 9 years old, and she talks about how before World Vision started working with their family, she didn't know much about children's rights and protection. And the story there is that her parents, the mom in particular, just struggled sometimes with the children, and the way she would deal with that was not the most appropriate thing in regards to how she treated the children, specifically this young girl. And so that then led to the work of World Vision having to actually impact that community. So they worked with local authorities, they worked with community members to promote children's rights and protection and other things. And so it was really interesting to think about how World Vision is not just about what we see or we've seen on TV, where it's about sponsor a child, their education and their food, but they're actually involved in child protection. They work with local communities, and that this then impacted this family in that this child was not now aware of what her rights were, but it also says that her parents, her mother in particular, was also exposed to became more aware about different ways of parenting, and the outcome is positive. Once again, it's one of those things that we don't see, but it's also a result of your giving and what it does. So don't ever think that what you are doing is not making a difference, because it is. So we're just going to watch a video from one of the managers. I think he's a manager. If you know, put that, please.
Hello, Pastor and the member of C3 Church in Fremantle and Quinana. On behalf of the children, family, and community in Rukakuri, I would sincerely thank you for your love, prayer, support. Since March, we have continued working with community and partner to support the children's education, child protection, health and nutrition, clean water and sanitation, early childhood and development, building secure livelihoods and social accountability to improve the quality of public service. Your support is creating the better opportunity and bright future for the children in Rukakuri. Please pray for us. First, please pray for the children to grow in their learning, confidence, and potential. Second, please pray for the vulnerable children and family who are facing challenges with nutrition, livelihood, water, and other basic needs. And third, please pray for wisdom, strength, and good collaboration among our community, local authority, volunteer, and community as we continue serving our children. Thank you, C3 Church, for standing with the children of Rukakuri community. May God bless you, your churches, and your families. Thank you.
Amen. Please give yourselves a hand for the amazing work that you're doing. That's just incredible. All right, I'm just going to just give people an opportunity. We just want to get into just the time of really, hearing what the Lord wants to do. But I just wanted to talk about this, Our Story, Our Future card that's on your chair. If you could please have a look at that. It takes you through how to give. Our Story, Our Future is not just about a once of giving. We encourage you to just really prayerfully consider giving over a 12-month period. There's faith promises that you can make. And of course, you give the best way that you can. But if you are able to commit to a longer-term way of giving, that's even better, because that then affects how everything is done, the budgeting for the church and the buildings. But please take this home with you, because next week is our big week where we're actually going to collect the offering. So take the time to pray about, as a family, about how much you're going to give and what you want to commit to. Thank you. You know, we're talking about the church being a city of refuge. But there's no safer place to be than embracing the Lord Jesus himself as that place of refuge. He's our safe place. He's the safest place to be. So just want to give an opportunity to people right now who have never made a commitment or never really understood what it means to give your life to the Lord Jesus, to trust him with your life, to trust him with your future, where you're still trying to sort things out yourself. Just want to encourage you. So I'm just going to say a prayer. And if you could just pray after me. And we really believe that, it's according to the word, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved as you believe in your heart as well. So this is not even a forced thing. It's really something to consider and make a decision. And I'll ask you afterwards to just, you know, stay somewhere where we can see you. So I'll ask you to raise your hand if that is you who prayed that for the first time. So let's just close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Be my place of refuge. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with every eye closed, if you pray